Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Kemp coming to you live on New Year's Eve in California. Here we are, the last day of 2007. It's almost 2008 in New York. It's already 2008 in England, for those of you who weren't aware. Today is what we call the Joker Day. And people born on this day, we cannot read them with the cards, because anybody who's a joker has the ability to be any card in the deck that they choose. The question is, what card are they being? So when you meet a joker, which you meet very often, but there are a few of them out there. As a matter of fact, my neighbor here in California, our neighbor is actually a joker, which is unusual because you meet so few of them. Only this one birthday is a joker. The Joker, Val Kilmer is a joker. Remember he played that movie, The Saint, and he was so good at like disguises and stuff. It was like a perfect part for a joker. And then we have Anthony Hopkins, who his roles, I like to say that I never know what age he is. When I see him in movies, he always astounds me. He can look like an old man or he can look like a middle-aged man, and it just blows my mind how he can do that. Also, Ben Kingsley, who played Gandhi. All these people are having birthdays today. But as far as their future goes, as far as their destiny goes, as far as the cards go, we have no way to tell them anything because they don't really have yearly spreads because we don't know which card they're being. Their card is absolutely no card, which is an interesting dynamic when you think about it. When you think about, if you have 52 cards in a deck, and there's a law of balance in the universe, it would stand to reason that there would be one card that would be no card if every other card is a card. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's kind of how I think of it when I think about the Joker. And they have a value of zero. Like every other card in the deck has values assigned to them, but the Joker has a value of zero in the sense that it is nothing. It is like a fertile field within which you can plant any seed and have a plant grow, but as of yet, no seeds have been planted. So it's supreme fertility, but no causality, no expression. John Denver was also a joker, and so is Donna Summers, who used to sing, "We work hard, you work hard, she works hard for the money." That's right, I got that right. She is a she. Anyway, these are our jokers. And traditionally, this was the day of the year when the court jester could make fun of everybody in the kingdom and not be punished. So he would sit on the throne and act like a really grotesque version of the king, and then he would pantomime the queen. He would be able to basically make fun and parody of everybody in the court, all of the upper class people, and not be punished for that. It was his day. It was the fool's day, the joker's day. Also, traditionally, we in this order of the Magi, which is the group that has kept the science of the cards alive for the past how many centuries, we don't know, they would shut their doors on December 31st and do no card work because the Joker offsets the validity of work that is done. So, for example, there were no readings were performed on those days. And like if you have a deck of cards and you're doing a card reading, you should always remove the jokers because they offset the balance of the deck. If you have a joker in the deck, when you do a card reading, the results will be inaccurate. They will be deceptive and inaccurate. Now, in spite of this, we will have a show tonight, and we will do readings. We'll see what we can do, but if I sound a little wacky, maybe it's because it's Joker Day. If I sound a little strange, if I sound a little different, if I say something really strange, I have permission. It's Joker Day today. I can say whatever I want, okay? So we're going to have a little presentation on the astrology of the year, what's going on astrologically that will affect us all. And after that, we'll take your calls, which should be around the top, around 7:30 Pacific time. So those of you who are interested in calling in, feel free to do so in about a half an hour. You can call in sooner if you want to get first in line. That's okay. But I won't be answering any questions until after we get going. And, you know, those of you, I've got a lot of feedback about the show we did where we talked. We just opened up question and answer about how to use the system. So feel free to call in and ask those kind of questions. And those kind of questions might actually be better on this Joker Day of the year. But you can also ask personal questions if you feel so inspired to do so. So here we are. On starting a brand new year, and we look at the astrological influences, and we can tell some things to certain people. Now, the astrology columns that you read in newspapers and in magazines who are making predictions, and there's a lot of them, and a lot of websites to do it too, and they base it on your sun sign. You have to understand that those things are only accurate for maybe 5% of the population. Because if you know the system that they're using, the version of astrology, that if you understand how that works, and then if you understand how astrology works, you'll realize that that just cannot be accurate. Because here you have people born within a 30-day period. Each sign covers about 30 days of the year, you know, roughly. 12 signs, 365 days, something like that. Okay, and so each month, around the 20th or the 21st or 22nd of the month, the sun goes into a new sign. Like on the 22nd of December, the sun went into the sign of Capricorn. And each day it goes about 1 degree, and there's 30 degrees in each sign. So once the sun reaches 30 degrees of Capricorn, it will move out of Capricorn and go into Aquarius, and so forth. And all the planets go round and round through these different signs. And when these planets that are in the sky right now, and I can tell you where the planets are right this very moment because I have a chart here in front of me that tells me the location of the planets. For example, the moon right now is in Libra, and Venus is in Sagittarius. If knowing all this and knowing when those planets that are in the heavens will make connections to points in your natal chart, in your birth chart. This is how the science of prediction happens in astrology. So you can't really do that for a whole bunch of people born within a 30-day span, because even though what they're doing in those predictions, they're doing sun sign astrology, which means they're basing all those predictions on somebody born at the very beginning of that sign. Like 0 degrees of Cancer, 0 degrees of Virgo, 0 degrees of Capricorn. They're making those predictions for that. Now, if you're born late in the month on Capricorn or Cancer, their prediction is going to be off for you. It's not going to fit you. If you're born even 10 days away from the beginning of that, so if you're born after like the third of any month, around the third of any month, if you're born anywhere in later than that, between the 3rd and the 20th of that month, those predictions are going to be so far off for you, they're not going to fit. And that's why most of them are fairly worthless and inaccurate. They might hit, though, every once in a while, but it's usually by chance. Now, the kind of predictions I'm going to make tonight will actually come true because I'm going to give you specific days of the month that these predictions will affect. They're not going to fit every single person in a sign, but are going to affect certain people and with in a certain degree of the sign. For example, we'll start with the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is a planet of good fortune, and Jupiter has just entered into the sign of Capricorn about 3 days ago. Well, actually, it happened around the 20s. Well, actually, no, about 3 days. Well, actually, I don't know exactly when it happened. It's been in the last week or so, let's say that, okay? It's around 3 degrees Capricorn right now. And it's going to take a year to go through Capricorn. So what we can say that's for sure is that over the course of this year, at some point, every single Capricorn out there living is going to have Jupiter crossing over their sun and that brings a certain amount of good fortune. For example, if you were born around December 22nd, Jupiter has already crossed over your sun. It happened a week or so ago. And right now it's affecting people who were born around the 25th of December. It's crossing over their sun as we speak right now. And they had a birthday too, so it was interesting. They had the sun cross, because your birthday is when the sun comes back to where it was when you were born. And then they had Jupiter there too. So they've had people who had a birthday in the early part of Capricorn, which is like December 22nd, 23rd, 24th. These people are going to have a very fortunate year all around because the sun and Jupiter were there on their birthday. And that's a prediction. That launches a prediction for the entire year. But later in the year, as Jupiter progresses through the sign of Capricorn, it will cross over every single Capricorn sun. And maybe even some of them, let's just say it'll cross on every single one of them. Okay, it's going to cross over their sun. And that's going to bring a certain amount of good fortune. Now, the kind of good fortune it is will depend a lot on the house position of your sun, if you're a Capricorn. And you may or may not know that. That defines an area of life where you might expect some good fortune from Jupiter. But just because it's Capricorn, just knowing it's Capricorn tells us it'll probably be work or career related too. Because all Capricorns are work and career oriented. They're here to achieve something they can be proud of, something they can look back on. So Jupiter, it goes about 1 degree per day. The sun goes 1 degree per day, but Jupiter goes about 1 degree per month overall. Let's see, no, let me get this straight here. That's not true either. It goes 30 degrees a year, so you figure it out, 2.5 degrees per month, whatever that comes out to be. So it's going through Capricorn this year. Now, the other very interesting thing, though, is that Pluto, which is the farthest planet away and the most powerful of all, is also moving into Capricorn. Not there yet, but it will be in January. It will move into Capricorn. And it's already affecting those born around the beginning of Capricorn time, which is around the 22nd of December. A good friend of mine has a birthday on December 22nd, and his life is just taking off like a rocket ship because when Pluto crosses over a planet, it makes it so huge that you can go from being like an average ordinary person to being a superstar within a very short period of time. It just magnifies something to the greatest degree possible. And, a lot of astrologers think that Pluto is a bad planet to have crossing your sun, but in fact it's not. Pluto is actually a planet that brings huge transformation, huge change, which can be extremely positive in your lifetime. I remember my ex-wife, she had Saturn and Scorpio in her sixth house, and when Pluto crossed over that, she was a yoga teacher before that, but when Pluto crossed over her Saturn, which is our work planet, she became yoga teacher to the stars, yoga teacher to the celebrities, in a very short period of time. So that's what Pluto can do when it crosses over something. And for all Capricorns, in the next 17 years, Pluto is going to cross over your sun. It's going to be in Capricorn until 2024, so sometime in the next 17 years. And, it takes a while. It's only doing about 2 degrees per year, okay, something like that. So if you know you're born later in Capricorn, like in January, around the middle or last third of January, it's going to be a while before it gets to your son, but rest assured it is on its way. Okay? Now, at the same time, if you have a son that's in the early degrees of Cancer, of Libra, or of Aries, so if you're born on the 22nd of the month and you're a Cancer, Aries, or Libra, like if you're like June 22nd for Cancer, let's see what it would be for Aries. I think it would be March 22nd. And if you're a Libra, it would be September 22nd. If you're born around this time of the year, this Pluto is making a stressful aspect to your son. It's going to cause a transformation, but not one that's welcome, not one that you really want so much. It'll come almost like you're being forced into it. It'll be a transformation that is with a lot of, it'll be unwanted. Ultimately, though, it will be good. I mean, the change will definitely be good, but you won't want it to be. You're not going to like the way it changes. There could be deaths in the family, for example. There could be endings of things that you maybe at this time in your life didn't feel like you were ready to see them end, but they're just ending anyway. This is what happens when Pluto makes an adverse aspect to our sun or to other planets in our chart. We're just talking about the sun here. All these predictions I'm making are based on where the sun is. Okay? So that's Pluto. Pluto is very powerful. Then we go to Saturn. Saturn is right now at 8 degrees of Virgo. So if you're a Virgo and you're born around, just right around, August the 30th, right around there, Saturn is right on your sun. What does that mean? Well, it's not considered a good planet, but it does bring a positive thing. It creates success through hard work. Saturn conjuncting your sun makes you work harder than usual. It does bring success, but you have to make a pretty large effort to have it, which is not too bad. But there are three other signs that Saturn is squaring right now. And if you're born on the 29th or 30th, and you're a Sagittarian, you're a Gemini, or you are a Pisces, Saturn is negatively aspecting your sun. And this is... Could manifest in a lot of ways, but basically something in your life is going to be happening that's going to be difficult for you. It's going to, make you feel like you could get sick, for example, at the end of the weather. You could feel like people don't like you or, that there's things that are going on that are just not feeling good to you. It'll be challenging in some way. I have two friends who were born on the 29th of November. They're both Sagittarians. And they're both having a little bit of a difficult time with Saturn squaring their sun. But it's affecting each of them differently because of the house positions of where their sun lies and the house position of Saturn in their natal chart. For example, if you had Saturn, transiting Saturn in your second house of money and it's making a bad aspect to your sun, you could expect some financial challenges. That would be what you would expect. Okay? Now, Saturn, that's basically it for Saturn. I want to go back to Jupiter for a second. Being in Capricorn, Jupiter will actually benefit the other Earth signs throughout the year, and the other Earth signs are Virgo and Taurus. So they'll receive some benefit from Jupiter because it's in a compatible sign. Okay, there will be some benefit, just not as strong as it is for Capricorns who have a Jupiter crossing directly over their sun. Now we talk about Uranus, the planet of unexpected changes. And Uranus, it means change. It means freedom. So it's in Pisces right now, right at 15 degrees, affecting Pisces people who are born around the 4th to the 7th of the month of March. And for those people, they're getting a real blast of energy to break out of the mold and really be themselves and not let anything get in the way of their self-expression. That's what Uranus will do. It creates an urge for freedom. It creates an urge for individuality, for individual expression. It can cause some changes in your life, but they're generally considered good changes when it's a conjunction like this. Changes that you want. It may surprise everybody around you, but for you, it'll feel like the right thing. There'll be a knowing that comes into you that leads you in the direction you must go. Now, however, those there are three other signs that are being squared by this same Uranus, and those are Gemini, Sag, and Virgo, squared or opposed, stressful aspects. So anybody born between the 4th and the 8th of, like, you know, December and the other months of Gemini, which will be June, and Virgo, which is September, you're getting a square from Uranus. And a square from Uranus, it makes you just want to break out. It makes you want to just not tolerate anything that gets in your way. It might cause some real unexpected changes in your life, like things just suddenly reverse themselves in a way. And its real message is to get you out of your pattern that might be holding you back, to get you to break out of patterns that have been binding you for a long time. However, you may resist it. You may not think, hey, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this kind of changes. I'm not really ready to have so much change in my life. But when Uranus comes along, there's not much you can do about it except ride the waves and let them take you where they're going to go. Now, Uranus is going to benefit the signs of Cancer and Scorpio, those born between the 4th and 8th of July and the 4th and 8th of November, because it's making a trine aspect to their sun. So this is a Uranus. And it's not going to move a lot over the course of this year. That range of dates I gave you covers the entire year, because Uranus also is somewhat slow moving. Okay? Now, we also have Neptune to consider. Neptune is in the sign of Aquarius right now, right at 20 degrees. And this is people right around between the 9th and the 13th of February. These Aquarians are having Neptune cross over their sun. If you're born between the 9th and the 13th of February, you are having Neptune conjunct your sun, which will open up your vision of your life. It'll give you a psychic ability. It will cause you to look about your life and see a new picture of your life, a new vision for your life. A dream will emerge for you, a dream to fulfill in some way. Depending on what kind of an Aquarian you are, you may be relationship-oriented. It might be a relationship dream, or you might be money-oriented, and it'll be a money dream. But whatever it is, it'll be a dream that comes along, and you should follow it. It'll bring you to a new place. Now, those who are in the signs that do not, the other fixed signs, and who are born between the 9th and 13th of May and of November, and also of, May, November, and July, and August, sorry, the Leos. These people are having Neptune square their sun. This is a time of a lot of confusion. Neptune squares create a lot of confusion. Basically, what it's about is Neptune seeks to unidentify you with things in your life, with structures in your life. It seeks to break down these structures, kind of melt them down, so that you lose your identity, so that it can be remade again. So Neptune is going to melt you down. It's not going to be fun necessarily. It can be very uncomfortable, and you can feel very lost and confused, and you can lose a sense of who you are. Like, who am I? I have no idea who I am. The good news is it'll be over by the end of the year. Okay, so and then it'll go to the next people. Those born after the 13th of February will have that next year. So basically, this is what's happening in the universe. This is what the planets are doing. You might have noticed that some of the signs were getting two different things at the same time, like Uranus and Saturn are both immutable signs, so they're both kind of laying the whammy down on the same signs during the year. And that's how it often works. That's how things generally work in astrology. There is two things or more going on at the same time. Okay? All right. I wanted to announce, that ends our discussion about astrology. If you're wanting to call in for a reading, now's the time to do so. I do want to make a couple of announcements. One thing is that we are having a class here at my house on the 13th of January. Actually, we have quite a few signed up now. There's not hardly any room left, but there still may be room if you really want to come in. Go to my website. On the first page, it talks about the class, the three-hour class on Sunday the 13th of January, and the party that will follow. We're going to have a little party after that, okay? The other thing I want to announce, I got an email today about a website. Let's see. Let me find this real quick. Destiny cards on the iPhone. If you have an iPhone, there's a website that has some links to my website. It's called magicaliphone.com. So if you have an iPhone, you can go to this magicaliphone.com, and it's got some cool stuff, and it's all set up for an iPhone to make it easy to look at. So you might enjoy doing that. The guy who runs it, his name is Siobhan, and he asked me to announce that tonight, and so I am. So appreciate you sending me that information, William. His name is William Siobhan, PA. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. Okay, so we're going to take a short break here. We're going to play a song off my CD, and I'd like to hear the song Om Namah Shivaya. And when we come back, if there's people on the line, we're going to do some question and answer. So now's the time to call in. We'll be back in about 5 to 6 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and we have some callers. So I'm going to take Debbie first, who's calling from Texas. Are you there, Debbie?
I'm right here.
How are you tonight,
Debbie? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Excellent. So your birthday, I take it, is October 17th, 1952?
Yes, that's correct. The inevitable five of clubs.
Inevitable?
Well, I was a little dismayed when I read in your book that I'm the most unmarriageable card in the deck.
Really? I thought you'd say, well, that gives you a license to have some fun.
Well, I've had enough fun. I'd like to find that one and only, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Well,
and it's really funny because
yeah,
I ended a relationship with another five of clubs that has the exact same birthday as I do in the same year. Just recently.
Wow. I bet that was kind of intense.
It was, yes. It had a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Well,
but
you
I'm
know,
ready to move on now.
Okay. I got
so
that.
So I wanted to see what you might see in the coming year.
Well, you just had a birthday not too long ago, so that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me see here. Well, I think you're going to have a lot of fun this year. As a matter of fact, you should be meeting somebody really soon if you haven't already.
Oh, great, great. I haven't yet, no.
I don't think you're going to be settling down with one person, though, this year.
Oh, okay.
I think you're going to be going back out there and kind of getting a feel for who's available and try to get really clear about what you want first.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
You know, like, we can only get somebody as good as our clarity about it. Because
mm-hmm.
the guy you just had, I mean, on some level, he was exactly what you wanted before, you know.
Right.
I mean, you had wanted a person like that before he showed up, and then he showed up, and he wasn't exactly what you really wanted.
Right.
But he was until he showed up. I mean, until you got clear, I think.
Yes.
But you have very good cards for love this year. I don't think you'll have any problem.
Oh, well, good. So, it is possible that I could find the one. It's just not,
well,
it's
you
not
have
impossible.
You have a three of hearts long range in your ruling card spread.
Right.
You have an eight of hearts environment. You got all this playgirl energy around you. I really don't think you're going to settle down with anybody this year.
Oh, okay.
I think
but I'm not going to be lonely, huh?
No, you're not going to be alone at all.
Well, good.
So that's the good news.
Yeah.
The bad news,
if you can call
it bad news, is that, you know, it's going to be another year until you settle down with anybody at least.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll find that one, and then it'll end up being settled down next year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can
you
take a look.
You've got to get to know each other.
Well, you know, really, what I find, Debbie, is it's really more about knowing ourselves first, see? We have to know exactly what it is we want
mm-hmm.
before we can attract it.
Right. And I have been making lists of characteristics that I want when I observe those in other men.
Yeah.
And I concentrate on, I really believe in the law of attraction.
Excellent.
And I believe that that's what's happened in the past is that I've maybe thought too much about what I don't want, and then therefore that's what I've attracted.
You know, if you listen to any of the work by Abraham and Esther Hicks,
mm-hmm.
They talk about that it's about the feeling, you know, of something.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I know for myself, I never found the right person until I got really clear about what it was that was important to me, and I realized that what it was important to me was that it feel really good.
Sure.
That I have
sure.
this really being totally in love with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, once I got clear with that, what I really wanted, then it was really easy to find the person because I knew who I did want and who I didn't want. See?
And you may have addressed this before, but I've been wanting to know, how important do you think the planetary ruling card are as far as what is going to happen?
Oh, it's just as important as the birth card.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
that those are different parts of your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Ace of Spades part of you would probably be the more career-oriented part of you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, because Ace of Spades are very work-centered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that
area about, look good to you?
Who cares? What do you want? You haven't said what you want yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I would like to have a, I mean, I'm happy right now with how things are going, my career-wise. But,
then what are you asking about it for?
I want more. No,
more
I'm
what?
Fine.
More what?
More money.
Really, what are you going to do with more money?
Oh, I don't know. Buy more things for my home or...
It doesn't sound to me like you really, really are looking for more money.
I'm very satisfied where I am there.
Yeah, well, you know, being happy with what you have always attracts more, you know.
That's true. That's very, very true.
It has that effect, and might as well take advantage of that and enjoy that.
True.
So.
Well, listen, I just want to tell you I enjoy your program very much, and I was thrilled to be able to get to talk to you, and
it's great to have you come to one of the programs. Well, thank you for... finally getting up the nerve to call in, Debbie, and I appreciate hearing
from
you.
Well, my heart was beating a little fast, I have to admit, but once I started talking, I was okay.
You did fine. You did really good.
Yeah. People can make fun of my southern accent. Maybe they'll get a laugh out of that.
Hey, I just moved from North Carolina, okay, and Mississippi.
Yeah.
I can fall right in with that accent like everybody else. It's really easy, you know. Just start
hey,
using
you know
the word
what? I'm
y'all.
Proud of it.
Oh, good for you.
I certainly am. I'm not going to change one thing about it. So there you go.
Well, you know, it's that Southern Belle. Some men really like that.
There you go. Well,
you know,
it's
like
me.
That.
So
because it's kind of a feminine thing. It's kind of attractive. All right,
well,
Debbie,
listen, Happy New Year to you.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate hearing that from you, and you have a great year.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care, Debbie. Okay. Are the phone lines working? As far as we know, yes, somebody asked. Are the phone lines working? As far as we know, because we've got people on three lines here. So let's have Regina come in next. Regina, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Robert.
Do I know you? Do I know you, Regina?
I have purchased books from you. I bought one just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I see.
I have been a student of the cards for over 20 years, maybe almost 30 years, actually, going back to the Edith Randall material.
Mm-hmm.
And then discovering your material as well. And I'm a Six of Clubs, interesting, following the Five of Clubs that you just spoke to.
Yeah, so that is kind of a coincidence there.
Yeah. I can give you a quick rundown of my astrological data. I know it very well. That is the position of the planets in my chart and the rising sign and all that.
Well, why don't you first tell me what your question is, and then we'll see what we need.
Okay, well, I'm obsessed. I'm an obsessive type person, and I worry, as the sixes do. And I suppose at this point in my life, I'm most concerned about security issues and the property that I own. And with Pluto going into Capricorn, which will be going through my fourth house, and I have Jupiter in the fourth house in Capricorn, my natal chart.
How many degrees?
Jupiter, I think it's around 27 degrees Capricorn in the fourth house, and my Venus is in Capricorn about 4 degrees, opposing Cancer, Uranus in Cancer. And I have been, for years, proclaiming that I'm going to sell property and move somewhere else, and I haven't been living up to that. Because I guess my unconscious mind is too frightened of the prospect. And just recently I'm in a new a new job, and again, the security issue, which the job brings a new form of security into my life. So I'm sort of having to reevaluate my whole concept of, again, well, Neptune is squaring my sun, so in Scorpio. So again, yet like you said, I'm very confused about the plan for the next.
Well, you know, the cards can
life.
Be helpful in this regard, and I'll just I'll see what I can tell you here, Regina. Because, you know, what I find is the cards in astrology are intimately connected, and sometimes the cards can really lay it out a lot more simply than the astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at your cards, for example, we see that you have a Nine of Diamonds long range.
Right.
You're aware of this, right?
Yes, I got the yearly report.
And underneath that, the yearly report doesn't give the underlying card, but there's an underlying card under that, which is an additional influence. And underlying that, you have a Five of Spades. Okay?
Okay.
So how would you interpret that? Do you have any idea?
Well, the Nine of Diamonds is supposedly the end of a... It's like, you know, you lose valuables, you lose assets, because they really don't really mean that much, or there's the universality is more important than the concrete asset.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fairly good thing. The basic theme is it's an ending of some kind. It's a nine. And it's an ending that takes an entire year to accomplish. And when it's a diamond like that, or a spade, it would be the same thing with a spade, it can frequently mean the ending of the work that you've done as you've known it.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of the way you approach work, or the way you make money, or an ending of a value, of something desired and valued. Do you follow me?
Yes, it's just, with the real estate market in this slump, you know, you tend to want to take the simplest, most superficial view that, oh, you're going to, you know, lose money because your house will be devalued. But then it could be taken in a different light or interpreted that I won't value, it won't be that important in value anyway to me personally.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying you're going to lose your house, but there's an ending here for you. And see, it doesn't matter what the real estate market's doing. It's what you have in your cards that matters, because people make millions in this real estate market, and other people lose everything. It just depends on the person. It doesn't really matter. What matters is this is what you have going on. You have a Nine of Diamonds, no matter what's going on out there in the world. So it's an ending year for you. You have to look at that. That's an ending of some kind. And this year, by the way, just began for you, so you have no idea what it's about yet.
Okay.
You got two nines coming up in Venus, though. You're going to definitely have some endings then, too.
Mm.
You know, you have a Nine of Hearts and a Nine of Spades in Venus. I mean, yeah, coming up. So there are going to be some endings.
Mm-hmm.
But I always look at the positive side of everything,
mm-hmm.
You know? There's
the
always
universal.
A positive side. And you look at, you have a Ten of Diamonds result this year. It's like you're going to get everything you really wanted, but you're probably going to have to let go of a lot of things that you think you want, but you don't.
Yeah.
Or maybe things that you really know that you don't want already, but you haven't had the courage to face it. You said to yourself that, you know, you've been holding on to stuff a little bit because you're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's natural. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody has fears. But when you have a Nine of Diamonds come along, it's going to say, well, it's time to get going. It's time to let it go. And I don't know exactly what form that's going to take, but I have a Nine of Spades long range this year, and I'm in my Jupiter period. I've already had 6 months of it. And my theme throughout the whole year has been, whatever it is, just tell me, I'll let go of it. That's my attitude about it, you know? I'm not going to fight with the universe.
Well, has anything materialized? It's obvious.
Well, I've had a lot of people that I knew die.
Oh.
I've had a lot of people that I knew. I mean, they weren't people that were like, it wasn't like my mother or father or somebody like that. But definitely friends, people that were friends, you know. Mm-hmm. Just hearing about people dying. So with this Nine of Diamonds, I've been getting in touch with death more. See? Mm-hmm. That's one thing that's happened. The other thing is, you know, I'm looking at, it's really difficult to start something new in a year when you have nines. Like, it seems like I can't really start anything new. I'm not in the space to start anything new this year. There's like not a place for that in my energy field.
Yeah.
Even though part of me wants to have something to really sink my teeth into, mm-hmm. I'm not. I don't have it, and I've had to learn to just embrace that. Mm-hmm. I was listening to some of these Abraham CDs lately, and one guy in the audience in one of the CDs asked a question, a similar question, like, I don't know exactly what to do. I'm in between things. What should I do? And she said, well, don't do anything until you know exactly what it is you want.
Uh-huh.
And that's a hard thing for some people like me. It's very hard just to, like, not do something.
Yeah. You
know? So I don't know. This is just a year. It's just getting started for you. You have a four hearts environment, so you have protection around your home and you have protection around relationships. Okay? There's protection there.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Ten of Diamonds result card. You're going to... There is going to be a new beginning for you. There's going to be a new job come in. I don't know exactly what it is, but my feeling about it is, from what I see here, is that it's going to be taking a leap of faith for you in order to do it.
The job that I began 2 months ago actually took a leap of faith. And so it has been. It has been. I've been enjoying a tremendous change of pace. So
uh-huh.
It's been good for me psychologically and physically to meet the demand that, you know, I'm now having to meet. I don't know how long I want to, how long it, you know.
Well, my question to you is this. Is this the job of your dreams?
No. It could be a job that I asked for because in a prayer, but it certainly couldn't fulfill that description.
Yeah, that's okay. So, you know, is there a part of you that wants to have the job of your dreams?
There's a part of me that wants to accomplish something to express myself creatively.
Mm-hmm.
But
something extraordinary, perhaps?
Yeah, I haven't been disciplined enough in writing. I know the Three of Clubs is also in my, you know, cards this year. And
yeah.
If I could sit down and really finish some projects, you know, creative projects, that would be wonderful. But that's going to take a new discipline and a new
That's one way that can be interpreted. And also, you're going to have to be working on transforming worry into creativity this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because worry and creativity come from the same energy.
Mm.
They're both creative energies. So your challenge this year is going to be like, if I were to be creative, I wouldn't worry. Or I wouldn't worry as much. Because it's looking for an outlet.
Okay.
So if you can, look at like when you're feeling worried about stuff, then go, okay, what can I do like creatively right now? You know, what can I do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would feel good like that? But overall, I don't think you're really going to know much about what this year is about until you get into like February.
Okay.
Because it takes that long for things to kind of, for the theme to sort of show up. You know, it takes a little while.
Do you subscribe to the belief that we really don't have to, we don't have to program it to what degree do we have to program it? Because we can program, we can use affirmations, we can use auto-hypnosis, we can use, you know, lots of ways to materialize what we know. Once we know what we want, you know, we can have those things. And I'm pretty adept at performing that magic.
Right.
Things change. You know, the cards change, the planets change.
And we change, too.
And we change, constantly.
Yeah. You know, you might, what you wanted yesterday, you may not want today.
Exactly.
So it's not a static process. It's something that we have to be constantly evaluating,
mm-hmm.
and looking at to make sure that, you know, it still means something to us.
And that we're ascribing, that we're attaching to the right value that's going to mean something for a long time, you know.
Well, I don't think there's a right or wrong to it. I mean, the timing of things, we just don't know. I wouldn't be concerned about that, because then you can get all stuck in the process of trying to pick the right thing and never get going. That would be a concern.
Exactly.
I gotta make sure I gotta get the right thing, and then you're still wondering about it, you know, years later.
Well, it also depends on what we need. I mean, you know, there could be a bigger picture where we can always have what we need, but we may not have everything we want. So,
have you ever listened to any of the Abraham CDs, any of their talks or anything?
Have you
heard of them?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes, someone gave me the book.
Okay.
I have one book.
Well, information, you are a triple club. Every one of your cards is a club.
Yeah.
Your birth card and both your ruling cards. So, you know, information has a lot of importance to you. And this is some pretty good information, Abraham stuff.
The feeling aspect, you know.
Yeah,
So I was glad to hear you talk to the previous lady about your relationship and finally getting in touch with what felt right to you, and that was how you found the right person. And I tend to forget that a lot because, as you say, I'm a triple club, so I
get stuck.
Yeah,
the other thing about a club is, and this is what she says on one of her CDs, is that we think the mind is there. We get caught up in trying to make it happen with our mind. We first get an initial vision of what we want, which is good, but then we think we have to figure out how to make it happen. When she says that the truth is, you just have the vision of what it is you want, and then let that take care of itself and use your mind only to enjoy what you already have and what you are creating and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
What a concept.
It's a shift.
Yeah, it's like not trying so much, see?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the trying is affirming what we don't have. Mm-hmm. It's an affirmation of not having.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you examine it, that's exactly what it is. It's trying.
Exactly.
Trying is saying, well, I don't have it, I don't have it, I need to get it, I need to get it. So it's even like I wrote a book called The Big Money Book, which has the same basic message. And that is, you know, get into, like, appreciating what we have, because it's not the mind's job to make it happen. For a club, that could be a very hard concept, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they're used to making everything happen with their head.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You would know more than anybody else because you're all club.
Yep.
You're just as much club as somebody can get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. I have a double whammy.
Yeah, my mother's a double club. She's a queen of clubs, ace of clubs. And I've met quite a few, all club people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's, to them, like, it's all about thinking about it. But they can think
right.
it up too much. They can think
That's
it too
right.
hard. You know,
yeah.
they can think it into the ground. They can think it to death. All those expressions apply, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up.
Well, you know, this Nine of Diamonds for you, there's a change in your career coming. It hasn't even started yet. It's definitely coming.
Okay.
And it's not what you think it is. It's not something you've already thought of.
Okay.
And don't try to figure it out.
Oh, wow, what a concept. You're so liberating. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, this is my job on Joker Day. I'm here to liberate the downtrodden masses who are locked into a self-repeating pattern of mental torture and agony.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
so, you know,
I'm going to...
fasten your seatbelt, get ready, be creative, be happy, and then watch things unfold. Everything's going to happen at the right time.
Okay, thank you so much.
Pleasure, Sherry. Regina,
okay.
I mean. Pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was fun and interesting. Okay, we are going to take a short break. We have two people waiting. We have Sherry waiting on from Pennsylvania. We have Faith from New Jersey. Some people from East Coast. You guys just hang in there. We're going to have a short break. I'd like to play the song, The Krishna Lullaby. And when we come back, we will continue our calls. Be right back.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare. Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare. Jai
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Camp, and you know the lines are full tonight. I guess everybody's home waiting for the new year to happen, and glad to have you here and being on the show. We'll try to get to everybody, and we'll do our best. So hang in there, those of you trying to get in. So we start out now. We have Sherry from Pennsylvania. Are you there, Sherry?
Yes, I am. And first off, I'd like to tell you how happy I am to be able to speak with you.
Oh, nice to have you on the show, Sherry.
This is my 52nd year. And,
oh, yeah. What about that?
It's a biggie. Last year, anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. My husband and I, we've gone through it all. You know, repossessions, foreclosure, almost. I mean, we're hanging on with our teeth.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like I said, anything that has could go wrong, it's like a constant kick in the stomach. He's a two of spades, king of spades, so...
Oh,
I'm not
wow.
sure if that's him in my Mars here.
Well, yeah, that's definitely him. You know, I don't know. Like, see, you have to think about this for a minute. When things aren't going right like that, like you're describing, it usually means we're out of sync somewhere. You know, personally. Like, life's not meant to be fighting an uphill battle constantly.
It's been constant.
And that's not how life is meant to be. Would you agree?
Right.
So, you know, you have to ask yourself some questions, like, what am I creating? What's happening that I'm attracting all this? What's the message for me in all this? See? Those are some of the questions that I would be asking myself if I were in your position. You're in that point of life. Year 52 is the key year. It's called the critical year.
Mm-hmm.
When we have to really let life be good. It should be good.
Yeah, I've worked all this time to, you know, I just, it's just to lose everything at this point in time. It's just ridiculous.
Well,
and, you know, when you get your car repossessed, your credit goes bad. You can't get a job because you've got bad credit, because they do run your credit check.
Yeah. I understand. But see, there is something that you're doing that's creating all this, and you're not in touch with that right now. You can't imagine why you would make it be the way that it is. Can you? I mean,
no,
can you
even
imagine?
No, my husband's going through it too with me, so.
What's that?
Both of us.
What did you say? Your husband is...
My husband's, you know, he's faced with this too, and...
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Yeah, I can imagine it's very difficult. But you... There's a higher force at work here in your life. And believe it or not, that force wants you to be happy. I get the feeling like your life wasn't so good before.
Well, before I wasn't worried about foreclosure. I mean,
that's
true, but I just skin my teeth. But
you weren't. But life is not about security. That's not the theme of life. Life's about living. Life's about having love and being happy. And money doesn't bring that. So, you know, it's time to look inside of yourself. When things like this are difficult on the outside, it's time to take a look inside and see, how am I causing all this to happen? And why would I create this? Why would I create all this? And it requires you to be really honest with yourself, Sherry. This may be hard to understand or hard to hear right now. Are you there?
Yeah.
But you are making this happen on some level.
Well, is there any sort of, I don't know, path or some direction that I need to go? I mean, I can't see it right now.
Well, you need to, like, really examine what's going on inside of you. But I wrote an article. Do you have my books
yes.
or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get my books?
Yes.
Or do you have my books? Do you get the newsletter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just wrote the next newsletter for January. It's going to come out like the next day or so. and I wrote a long article all about basically exactly what you're facing right now. Okay. It's called Mission Impossible.
Sure is.
That's the name of the article. So it's right up your alley.
Yeah.
So I would suggest you read that, and you pray to God and say, but you don't pray for things to get better. Okay?
Okay.
You pray for understanding. You pray for clarity. Because, see, you actually are, and you're an eight of diamonds. You're a creator. You're a powerful woman. Okay?
Okay.
And you helped get yourself into this situation you're in. You did. And you have the power to change it and make it different.
Absolutely. In enough time before the bank forecloses?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
You might need to lose
two ten of diamonds towards the end here. I mean,
you might
have a lottery ticket.
So what if you lose your house? You can always get another one.
No, you can't. Not with no credit.
Oh, yes, you can. Right now, it's a buyer's market.
With no credit.
But what? There's all kinds of ways. You know, I bought 10 buildings with no money down. There's so many creative ways to make money and to get money and get what you want. That's not an issue. Okay. This is a good time for you. This is a time for you to think about having a new way of looking at life. The way you've been looking at it just ain't working anymore. Because
right.
You need a head job. You need a new way of looking at everything. We all do from time to time. You're not unique. You know? These problems you're having are not unique. A lot of people have had them before. I was totally broke a couple times in my life. Didn't kill me. All right? So you need to look inside. That's my advice to you. Take a look inside. And start reading books or whatever that can help you get a handle on how it is you're creating your life the way it is.
Yeah, I've been reading, but still, you know, if you get blinded by, you can't really soak it in when you have so much fear.
Well, when it happens, you have to, there's always something, there's always a pathway there for you. I understand what you're going through. I know how hard it can be, but it's, even no matter how hard it is, it's a test for you. Can you still be happy? Can you still see the bright side of it? You realize you're still way more wealthy than like 95% of the people on this planet.
Temporarily.
Even if you lose your house, you're still more wealthy. So.
Well, if I'm not going to pull this out, if you look at my husband's card.
What year was he born?
He is 3845.
Well, I'm not really sure here when I look at these cards. I'm not really sure about what's happening for him and what's going to happen to him. I guess I'd need to talk to him, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, both of you are extremely powerful people, and I have no doubt about that, and I have no doubt that you two have caused this to be the way it is. On some level, but it's a part of you that you're not aware of. It's a part of you, of ourselves, that we don't see every day. We don't know that we have certain feelings and desires. We're unconscious about lots of ourselves. And that's the part of you that you can't see right now. You think you're a victim of all this. But you're not. So my advice to you is to get connected to you, with what's really powerful and meaningful inside of yourself. That's the best advice I can give you.
The cards can go either way. You got great cards this year. A blessed year. Good things should happen. But are you really paying attention to what's really going on? Do you even know what's best for you?
Well, I feel like I'm in a blunder. I can't get a good view of what's going on in the world because I'm so busy spinning.
Spending what?
Spinning,
oh,
you know.
Spinning, yeah.
What's coming at you and just... You just feel...
Life's not about being comfortable. I'm glad that you're alive and awake again. You're waking up. Hey, you just can't sit around anymore and just spend money and just be lazy. You got to go out and do something. It's good. This is a good thing.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I just need to find out what that thing is I need to do.
What is the worst?
Because I have a business that's not doing anything.
Well, maybe you need to get out of that business.
Yeah.
Well, what are you waiting for? Get out of it. You see what I'm saying?
Pardon?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I guess.
You've got to be willing to let go of everything if you have to. If God's going to take it away, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. If he's decided that you're out of there, you're out of there.
Does it look like I am?
I don't know.
That's better than you saying yes, that's for sure.
No, I can't say that for certain. But I know that whatever's happening is the best thing for you. I'm absolutely sure about that. This is God's love in action on you right now, even though you don't feel that. This is a loving thing happening to you. This is something designed for your future happiness. I have a feeling you have not been happy for a long time.
Right.
That's the truth.
Well, that's the truth because 10 years ago I went through a divorce and almost lost the house then. I had to fight for the house then.
It's not about having the house.
Yeah.
You've got it all made out like the house is everything.
I am an eight of diamonds. The house
are
is everything.
Are you a house? Come on. Are you a house? I mean, if your house is gone, are you dead?
Eight of diamonds values, remember?
Well, I know, but this is ridiculous. You're not a house. You're much more than a house. And maybe that's what you're here to learn. I don't know why this is happening, but I know it's perfect for you. It sounds a little bit lopsided that you're so identified with your house, to be frank with you.
Okay.
It doesn't sound very healthy that you have so desperately hang on to this house like it means the world to you. It's not everything. It's just a piece of property. When you die, you can't take it with you. What are you going to do when you're dead? God, can I take my house with me? I really am attached to it.
Okay.
Well, lighten up a little bit. If you lose everything, it's no big deal. You think it's a big deal because you're attached. That's the only reason. It's just your attachment that's blinding you to what's really going on and seeing what's really happening and how sick, severe it is or how unsevere it is. It's your attachment. You're just attached. And there's nothing wrong with being attached, but it's painful sometimes to be attached to something. Yeah. When that is threatened, you're going to be really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the payoff. That's the price you pay for being really attached. And I don't care how bossy you are, how pushy, how strong you are, you're not stronger than God. I don't care how much you want that. If he says it's going, it's out of there. Okay?
All right. Thank
good
you.
Good talking to you.
Thanks. Bye.
You're going to have a great year, Sherry. Don't worry so much. Just be willing to let go a little bit. Thanks for being a guest tonight.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, we have now some lines open, and we have Faith from New Jersey. Is she still there? I'm looking for Faith.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Is this Faith?
This is Faith.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
thank you for your books. I've really enjoyed reading them over the years, and now I'm going through the intermediate video workshop, and I'm enjoying that a lot as well. I appreciate your sharing this knowledge with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for saying that, Faith. And you're born December 12, 1967?
That's correct.
So you're a six of clubs and an eight of diamonds?
Right.
And what's on your mind this evening?
Well, as I go through, you know, some of the books and everything, I was looking at actually my husband. He's a queen of clubs, ace of clubs, like your mom, I guess.
July the 15th.
And, July 16th.
Yeah, 16th, sorry.
No problem. I hope your mom's not listening.
She's not.
And what I was wondering about is, as I was looking at our planetary, you know, the life, the yearly spreads for both of our birth cards and our planetary ruling cards, on his Ace of Diamonds, there are no environment or displacement cards listed.
The Ace of Clubs, right. It doesn't have them. Because it's one of the fixed and semi-fixed cards. It's one of that special family of cards.
Okay.
It's a long story. We have I've sort of written all that in my advanced book. Called Exploring the Little Book of the Seven Thunders. It's explained to them. But there are seven cards in the deck that have no environment, no displacement.
Mm-hmm.
And they are Ace of Clubs, Two of Hearts, Seven of Diamonds, Nine of Hearts, King of Spades, Jack of Hearts, and Eight of Clubs.
Okay. And then my sister's birthday is today. She's a Joker.
Oh.
And I must say, it's disheartening that I can never look anything up about her and the connections between, you know, she and me and her children and et cetera. And that's just, there's no additional information on that as you go deeper into the knowledge.
Right.
Okay. just checking in on that.
Isn't it nice that there's this one little corner of the universe that we're just not allowed to go into?
Well, it is interesting. It is interesting. And, you know, I can go to other, you know, metaphysical bodies of knowledge to get some insight on her.
Yeah, you can do astrology on her. You can do all kinds of other things, but you just can't do the cards.
Right, right. The thing I was wondering about, too, in terms of astrology, is I noticed that in a lot of it, you do refer to some astrological indications, et cetera. And is understanding astrology in depth kind of critical to mastering this body of knowledge, or can you really master this as a standalone body of knowledge?
This system does not require any knowledge or use of astrology whatsoever.
Okay.
You can learn this independently from astrology and never miss anything. Now, if you have astrological knowledge already, it benefits you. It makes it a little bit faster and easier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then, again, the truth is that some people's knowledge of astrology will actually hold them back in learning the cards because they keep wanting to apply what they know to the cards, and it slows down their progress.
Oh, I like that. I'll think of it as an advantage.
It is an advantage. It's better. I mean, you can learn this very quickly. And you have all the time in the world to later learn astrology if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I actually teach astrology. I think it's great, but it's not good to mix them together, especially until you've learned each one of them fully.
Do you teach Western or Eastern?
Western.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
study Vedic. I like Vedic. But I don't practice it because it's too complex.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Western people doing Vedic astrology, but none of them know how to do it.
Right.
I haven't met one good Western Vedic astrologer yet.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. And then in terms of assigning the importance, when I look at the yearly spread for myself, for instance, of Six of Clubs, and I'm a native diamonds, some of the things seem to be a little contradictory or pointing kind of, you know, somewhat different directions. What's the weighting that you give something?
Well, I actually have talked about this on a lot of my shows. This question has come up many times.
Okay.
You have to first realize that the Six of Clubs and the Eight of Diamonds are two different parts of your personality.
Okay.
And you need to identify those parts.
Okay.
First. You follow that?
Yes.
And then you'll see that the cards in your Six of Clubs spread are referring to that part of your life. And the cards in your Eight of Diamonds spread are referring to that part of your personality in your life.
Right.
So they refer to different areas in your life.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I guess I was wondering if at some point, you know, if there was some rule as to which referred to what part, but you're saying it's more kind of an intuitive process where you figure
No, you can read about those two cards. You can read about them on your own, and you can say, oh, this is my, like, Eight of Diamonds is your big money spending part, for sure.
Right.
And your desire to be, you know, noticed and be special. Because those are qualities of Eight of Diamonds, you know.
Right.
Everybody pay attention to me. I'm special. The Six of Clubs is more about, like, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
More about having a mission in your life, you know, a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So if you study those two cards, you have the materials, right, already to study them at your disposal.
Yes, you know? And I have. I absolutely have. I've been paying very close attention and looking at my company actually is being acquired by another company, and I'll be out of a job very soon as a result. So I've been looking at, you know, the long range and all of that and deciding to give this more serious study so that I can be prepared for opportunities coming my way as a result of this change.
This change is going to be so good for you. It's just going to be like the best thing that ever happened to you.
Wow. Great.
Well, look at the cards.
Nice. Yes, I do have a very nice year. I saw that, especially on the Six of Clubs. But even on the Eight of Diamonds side, lots of great stuff. So I'm trying to, as nervous as I am, I'm the breadwinner for my family right now. And it's a little nerve-wracking, but I'm just focusing on, you know, having a very positive mental attitude, picturing myself in my ideal job, and that's going to materialize.
It absolutely will, and it'll be the best thing. As a matter of fact, you know, it's like the previous woman, you know, she was having a really hard time because she's losing her home. But see, these things just don't happen by accident.
Right.
You losing your job is actually meant to bring you to something better.
Yes, I saw
that.
And
the same thing is for her, but sometimes we're so attached to things that it blinds us to seeing. You're obviously not that way. You're not attached, I can tell. I mean, you're concerned.
Well, years of meditation hopefully coming to bear fruit here.
Yeah, and you have an attitude of, you know, that life is good.
Right.
You're a Sagittarian.
Right. But I will say this, I did lose everything once, and if Sherry's still listening, you can get it back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a chance to tell her, but, you know, a lot of really powerful people have lost everything many times.
Yeah, it's a gift. It really is a gift. It makes you grow and makes you look at things and find out a lot about yourself in the process.
Yeah, I lost a lot. You know, I lost all my stuff. Well, I went bankrupt once and had no credit for, you know, 8 years, and I did
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, so did I.
I did
so
fine.
So did I, and I actually just bought a house almost 2 years ago and rebuilt my credit in record time, and it can be done. So, you know, I mean, certainly with, you know, the grace of God, I wouldn't discount that as a factor, but
of
your head right work.
Yeah.
There's a lot that can
happen. You know, and I mean, it was really funny, you know, because I didn't have any credit for like a long time, and all of a sudden my credit became spotless.
That's great.
I was like, I went down to apply for a loan, and they're like, oh man, you got like a really high score here. I'm like, how'd that happen? I didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah, that's funny.
Life is good.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Well, thanks for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
Faith, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, and we are enjoying your music, too. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate hearing that.
Okay, Namah Shivaya.
Okay, Om Namah Shivaya. All righty, we're going to take a short break here. We have... let's see, we have Sandy waiting. We have, Sandy left. We have Marie from Oregon, and we have Christina waiting. When we come back, we'll talk to Marie. But in the meantime, let's see here. Let's listen to Sriram, and then when we come back,
We will talk to Marie, a Leo from Oregon.
Mana.
Welcome back, everybody. New Year's approaching very quickly. We actually only have a half an hour. If you're on the East Coast, you guys are probably watching TV or watching fireworks, you know, waiting for the ball to fall for the new year. But here on the West Coast, it's only 8:30. It's dark. Been dark since 5:30. But we got a little time left. We have Marie from Oregon calling on line three. Are you there, Marie?
I am.
Hello, Marie.
I am so excited to talk to you. I've read your books, and I'm just thankful that you're doing live readings.
Good. I'm here to help you.
Thank you, because I really need some help right now.
Are you July 27th, 1971?
Yes, I am.
All right. What can I help you with?
Well, I do my reading. You know, I do my readings from your books, and it's just not the same. And of course, it's not the same until I talk to you. And I was wondering, I'm having some issues. I've got three kids. They're all the nine of diamonds.
Ooh, and what a drag.
Yeah. There's twin boys.
Oh, wow.
And then there's my daughter who just, who's two and a half. The problem is that I've had one of my twin boys who's been in the hospital for quite some time.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if you can help me understand what it is I'm supposed to learn from this, as well as what I can give to my other son who's away from his identical twin.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a really hard time. It's been like over a year.
Are you married, Marie?
I am.
And what's your husband's birthday?
He's 11/26/69.
And is he supportive?
You know, he was scared and didn't quite know how to be supportive, and he's come around. So that's really been helpful.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know the exact thing, but I can tell you a little bit about Nine of Diamonds, people.
Okay.
And I've talked about them on the show before, several times as I recall. Nine of Diamonds come from a past life where they had everything, and they were really powerful in that lifetime, and they were used to having everything go their way. You follow me?
Yeah.
But they come into this lifetime and nothing goes their way, and They're like running around, and on a subconscious level, they're running around going, where is my servants?
Oh,
where's all the people that usually take care of me? Where's all my toys? Why am I in this family? What am I doing here? Why is my life not going like it usually goes?
Oh, okay.
You understand?
I do. Very much so.
And, you know, they basically... Because things don't, they're a nine, because anybody who's born a nine is a nine, and this includes your husband, who's a nine of clubs, ruling card, okay? He's a seven of hearts, nine of clubs.
Oh, my gosh, what is up with all the nines? What is up with that? Don't you think that's a little weird that I'm like the ace of clubs and I've got all these nines?
Yeah, you're
what
the first.
What am I supposed to get?
You're the first number, and they're the last number.
I know! What is up with that? Oh, my gosh.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. That's a really good question for you.
Isn't that a little weird?
What's up for you that you're in this little mix here?
I know. I'm just, I really want to get this right.
You are a person that's starting over again. You've already gone through the nine stage.
Oh. Okay.
So in a way, you can lead them. But see, when you're a nine, it takes almost an entire lifetime to get over yourself.
Yeah. Yep, and you know what's really interesting? My identical twins, there's one that's, you know, more mellow. The other one, he has been in the hospital for severe obsessive compulsive disorder with that followed along with the anorexia. But it's
How old
interesting.
Is he?
He's 14, almost 15. He'll be 15 in January.
Wow.
And it has been so severe. I mean, nobody can get through to him. I mean, you can tell him he's you know, perfect the way he is. He's awesome. He's great. And it's like it doesn't get through. And he is so, I know kids are self-centered, but it's not even about, and I don't want to be putting him down because that's not what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to let you to open up and see what you're talking about has so much relevance, and I understand it more so because he won't get out of that place.
Well, see, it's like a person who experiences, and this can happen to anybody in a course of a lifetime, and it happens to everybody usually eventually, is that if you have a really huge disappointment, your life, you can be depressed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And all your energy goes inside of yourself because you're not feeling good. And then the more you go inside, the more cut off you are from the external life, from people, and you become more depressed, see? And it's like a spiral that goes downward. I mean, it can be changed, but that's the dynamic of what's happening. Now, not every nine of diamonds or nine person has that extent of it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They all have it a little bit. Like, I mean, your two sons, even though they're identical twins, they're different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
I
and it started, I mean, he's just going, it's like you can't, I don't know how to break him out of it. I mean, so many people love and care for him, and we're all there for him.
You can't break him out of it.
Oh, it's so frustrating. It's like.
Well, yeah, that's your challenge, see? You can't do it for somebody else. I mean, he's just at that age now where he's almost beyond your help anyway.
Well, yeah, and I've had doctors look me, and I mean, I'm just like, please tell me it's me. I can have some control. But that
yeah,
is my either. Lesson is to, you know, and they're like, you can't do anything. Don't you understand? This is not your path. This is his path. He has to
right.
take it.
Yeah, he has to find his way through that.
Well, I want to control everything.
Well, what you can do is not get sucked up in it, you see. You can
yeah.
not get sucked up into his drama and show him how a positive person lives their life. And see, if you need something from him, if you need him to get better because you need him to get better so you feel good about yourself, then you're stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, there's helping somebody, and then there's helping them because we want something from them.
What I want from him, I guess it would just be for him to be happy and smile.
You can't want that. Because anybody can choose to be happy or unhappy. Everybody's got that, the ability to choose that for themselves.
What am I supposed to get?
So what would be better for you would be to say, well, you know, if you're going to be miserable, fine. Be as miserable as you want. But you have to have some boundaries if he's living with you about what you'll tolerate and what you won't tolerate. Some healthy
boundaries. What's really hard is he's in a hospital, and he's so severe that they, because of suicide and stuff, that he has to be there, and it's just really hard because he's far away from me, and I visit him like once a week, but because of weather, I haven't been able to, so it's been a week and a half. And the guilt that I feel, you know, of not being with him all the time is very hard. And then I look at my other twin son, who must be going through so much being
well,
away from
all
his
of
twin.
Your children need you, not just the one child.
And that's what happened. I got sucked up into the one, and my husband was like, you know what, we're all here too. We're all here living.
Exactly.
And
my mother's an Ace of Clubs ruler, and
wow.
My youngest brother, we were seven children. My youngest brother died when he was 4 years old. My mother went into such a depression that the rest of us lost our mother for about 2 years.
Wow.
She was gone.
And you were still living.
And we were all together. I was 13 at the time.
Wow.
Of seven children, I was the oldest.
Oh, wow.
So my younger sister, who was really only about she was about a year or so older than my youngest brother, she suffered the most because she still needed my mother more than anybody else, and my mother was gone. And that was really difficult. That was a black spot in my childhood for all of us, really. But
so I've already done that. I feel like I've just been totally, you know, lacking in a lot of areas. I mean, I'm fixing it now because I've realized what I've been doing. Things
well,
my
the doctor,
husband's telling me.
My mother finally realized that she had six other children, you know, and she had to let go of her grief. Because, see, look at this, you know, it's like your son is doing that same thing. You don't want to be doing the same thing he's doing, do you see?
Yeah.
If you get sucked into his thing and forgets everything else, then you're doing exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. You're right.
So, you know, the rest of your family needs you, and the best thing you can do for your son is let him know. He's old enough now that, you know, you can tell him things like, this is what you're doing. It's your decision to be miserable. And you can kill yourself. You can keep trying to kill yourself if that's really what you want. You got to be willing to let him go. You know, you got to let him, you got to set him free. Don't feel responsible. Don't feel like it's your fault. Let him be responsible for what's going on.
That is really hard to do.
Well, you asked what your part in it was.
Exactly.
And there it is.
Yep, but you're right. And that is it.
Yeah. So, you know, we all have a burden to bear.
Yes.
And, you know, Ace of Clubs, you know, you're like the opposite of a nine, but you're almost, in a way, you're kind of like a nine. There's a close connection, you know, because after the nine comes the one again. And then the wheel of the cycle.
Yeah.
One goes to nine, and then it becomes ten, which is a one again. So, you know, aces can become depressed when they don't get what they want, too.
Yeah. And then I always get out of it. I mean, I have my little pity party, and then I get on with it.
Well, you're a Leo, thank goodness, because that's a good sign. You know, it's a strong sign. And, you know, the sun shines through you brightly, so it can never be extinguished forever or
yeah.
for too long. So you have that to be grateful for.
I have a lot to be grateful for, and that's another thing that I've come, you know, to appreciate more so than ever is the blessings that I have. I have children that are alive and that, you know, aren't in the hospital. My health
you know,
is,
don't,
you know.
Don't see your son as having an illness. See him as, I mean, because, see, when we say that people have an illness, what we do is that we objectify their condition and we make it like they're the victim of something.
Oh.
That's the problem with labeling people with syndromes and so forth, is that we make it sound like, oh, you caught the ADHD disease, you poor thing, instead of, sit down and shut up. Put your hands back in your pockets and stop failing with stuff.
Drink some coffee and be quiet.
You know, I feel really sorry for the world today in a way, because we can't even beat our kids anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You know, a good beating can really go a long way. I tell you what, it straightened me out a number of times. I mean, I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but, you know.
It's funny. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. You beat your kids, they file a lawsuit against you and throw you in jail.
I know. Isn't that sad?
It is. So I can tell, Marie, that you're a very resourceful person, and you're going to do just fine with all this.
I'm glad somebody has some faith in me, because I'm starting to lose it.
No, you're going to be fine.
I'm gonna be fine, and I'm gonna make sure that my little one, especially, cause she's been in the car so much traveling. I just feel like I've not done as well with her.
Well, you know, your one son is so dramatic that the rest of them, by comparison, are just great.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
yeah.
all nine of diamonds, and they all got the issues, you know.
Yeah.
And,
so what do I need to do to make it better? Do I just need to be more patient, which I know I need to learn?
No, well, yeah, you're not good at patience, but the best thing you can do is see that their drama is not your doing. You didn't make it. You're not responsible for their condition. You know,
gosh,
I could have predicted
really
how these children would be from the moment they were born. It has nothing to do with who their parents were. It's in their spiritual DNA at the time of birth.
Really?
The time and place and date of our birth
is our spiritual DNA. It tells us what our life is. It's going to be. And it can be predicted from birth by the people that know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that should tell parents that it's not saying that you shouldn't do a good job with your kids, but you cannot be responsible for all the stuff that happens to them either.
That's real. It's like, that is just the biggest lesson for me. I mean,
Right. And that's why it's happening to you in the way that it is. So everybody, you know, it always happens perfectly for us wherever we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different for each person because each of us has different things to learn. So this is yours.
Okay. Dang it, why couldn't I have been a different card?
You should be happy. It's a great card to be.
Well,
card.
You know what? I appreciate you taking the time and doing a live reading with me. I am such a fan of yours, and
thank you for
doing that.
You're very welcome. It's, you know, it's a pleasure. This is, it's nice to talk to somebody who's you know, got the energy to change and to do something with it. And you are. I can tell you will.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, Marie. Have a great new year.
Thank you. You too.
Make some good resolutions.
I plan on doing that. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, I think if Christina is still here, she's been waiting for a long time. Are you there, Christina? Hello? Is this Christina?
Yes, hello.
Another Ace of Clubs.
Can you believe it? It's like Ace of Clubs evening.
Well, you know, two in a row, that's pretty good.
Plus your mother.
Oh, yeah, and my mother, too, that's right. But she's Ace of Clubs ruling card. So.
A ruling card. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. What can I do for you?
I emailed you the other day, and you said it was, like, appropriate to call you on your, you know, your radio call show and or to get some sort of
Are you the one that sent me that really long note?
I'm not sure if it was that long. But
okay.
If it was, I'm so sorry.
So what can I do for you?
A couple of things. I mean, I've been an avid student of the cards for about 10 years, and I've turned on many people, and I know a great deal about the system and the science. My questions are twofold. One, I have been with a Ten of Diamonds for the last 4 years, and I mean, I don't know if you can remember anything of about my email, but the thing is that, you know, he's August 3rd, 1959, and I'm 12-17, 1960, and, you know, we have, you know, so much in common and et cetera, and I'm in the throes of the situation because he can't commit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I wanted
let's just phrase it differently. Let's say that he chooses not to commit.
Yes, he chooses not to commit for whatever reason.
That's better. Because that gives him power. That doesn't make him the victim of some non-commitment disease.
Okay.
Okay, so good. So then, he can't commit, or he won't commit. So what's next?
So the point is, after, you know, some very premeditated and also very meditated, you know, presently feelings of, you know, the thing is of not wanting me anymore physically, I just, like, in, you know, in words of, like, oh, well, I should go find another person. It's very hurtful when you hear that from someone, you know, who you
care. Of course it is. And he wants to hurt you. He wants to drive you away because that's the best way he can think of to do it.
So, after, you know, so much of me putting up with this, I just said, fine. I said, you know, I think it's best we don't see each other and that we, you know, separate each other and no bike riding, no, you know, because we're both avid cyclists. We're both in the music business.
Yeah.
By the way, I love your music and, So, I just, and he said, fine. And, you know, I said, I think it's best we don't hang out. We don't do this. I mean, we're not having sex as it is, so.
Right, so what's the difference?
I mean, and you know what? If he meets somebody else, which he says he would like to.
Well, I think.
I'm not going to be there anyway.
Well, I think he's fully intending to. I mean, just listening to what you're saying, what he said, I mean, and knowing men, and knowing that he's a Leo, Ten of Diamonds, I'm fairly certain that's what his intentions are.
But the point is, I'm his best friend, and he cares so much about me, and I've done everything for him, and I continue to do everything for him.
Well, but it's up to you whether you continue that friendship. You know, you'll have to decide how you take care of yourself best in the situation.
So do you feel that, do you see that, I mean, even though he has an Ace of Clubs long-range card this year.
Yeah, and that could be his new girlfriend.
That could be the new girlfriend is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see, yeah. True.
It's really up to you. Now, what it comes back to always is us, you know. You're presented with a situation. And how you respond is really telling us about you. See? How long have you been with him so far?
2004.
Okay, so for like 3 years, right?
Yes, just 2004, 5, 6, 7, it would be 4 years now, yes.
Okay, so...
And the first year and a half...
Let me just say that he's probably been the same person all along, in the sense that he never did... say he would want to make a commitment, right?
No, he has a problem of falling in love with me. After a year and a half, he felt that he didn't feel that it was going, that he could fall in love anymore.
I mean, that's one way of putting it, but the basic bottom line is that he chose not to commit to you.
Even though we have this incredible deep connection?
Well, I don't know if he's experiencing it that way. You are, but I'm not sure about him.
So it's one-sided.
Well, in a relationship, you know, it's rarely the same from both sides. You know, like my wife is my Neptune card, and I just adore her, but I'm not her Neptune card. She loves me, but not in the way that I love her. You understand?
Yes.
She loves me in other ways that I may not understand, but I love her in the way that I do, and it seems to work. And, you know, his relationship with you, I don't know what he was getting out of it. Maybe just great sex. I don't know.
But I wasn't having sex with him for a while. He said he didn't think it was fair to put me in that situation where I would be expecting something more after having sexual relations.
So there he is, right? See, he's telling you all along. You want to hear what he's actually telling you? You know, from the very beginning, it was the same message. He's not that into you. Remember that book? There's a book out. Have you seen this book?
Yes, I have. I have the book, yes.
I haven't read it, but that book describes your situation pretty clearly.
But he wants to still hang out and ride bikes and have me decorated.
Yeah, but that's not what he's... That's one thing, but he's not into you in terms of, you're not the woman he's looking to settle down with.
That's why I pulled away.
Well, you know, I think you waited a little bit too long. You could have done this a lot sooner, because you knew all this from the beginning.
Well, not the beginning. The beginning, he was head over heels with me for a year and a half. And then after that, he pulled himself away and became...
Was he talking about marriage in the beginning?
No, but when you're with somebody 6 days a week, I mean, come on. I mean, you think you're going to be with them and say, you know, pure bliss?
Yeah, but see, with men, it's really what they say that matters. You have to really listen, because men don't say stuff usually. Now, there are some men that will intentionally deceive other people, but most of all, mostly, men will say something if they mean it, and they won't say it if they don't mean it. In other words, if they think you're somebody they would like to get married to, they'll let you know. And if you're not, they either won't say anything because they just want to get other things from you, but they don't want to broach that subject, right?
Mm-hmm. So when I ask the question, do you feel that we were ever going to be physical again, and he says, I don't think so? I should take that as real value.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he said that, I mean, you should, this guy should be history for you a long time ago. I'm sorry to tell you, but I don't know why you're hanging on to him unless you just don't really want to have a real relationship. See, the only time that we stay attached to an unavailable person is when we don't really want a relationship ourselves. We fool ourselves. We fake ourselves out. We tell ourselves we really want a relationship, but we become attached to somebody who's unavailable.
Yes, I understand that. I've been through that, though.
It's a self-deception.
Okay.
I mean, just consider that as a possibility, and that might lead to some understanding, some awakening there for you. You know?
No, I have thought of that. I just didn't, you know, so many things are so compatible on so many levels. I mean, it's...
He's not into you.
He's not into
you. The one, you know what? People that are not compatible can really make it happen. And they're not compatible as much, but they're really into each other, and they make it happen. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
Yeah. So being compatible like that is not the end all. The number one ingredient is, hey, you're so hot, I want to be with you. You're the kind of woman I'm looking for. That's what you're looking for. See?
Can you see anything in his cards that say...
You're focused on the wrong person.
Oh, that's what you see.
You need to be focused on your cards.
No, I am. And that's the next part of my question to you is, what do you see for me career-wise?
Well, what about love-wise?
You know what? At this point, I've abandoned it.
Well, I have a suggestion for you, and I know that this is hard for you, Christina, so I don't want to, you know, add to your misery or anything. This is a loving suggestion, okay? Just
yes.
Write down everything that you really liked about him. Write every little thing down that really, and see if you can pinpoint what was it about him that you liked the most? Like, what did he help you to feel that you liked the most? Okay?
Yes.
And then you'll be able to see, because you'll be able to get the focus off of him a little bit and onto you, like, because these are your feelings. You're the only one that feels that way about him. Do you understand?
Yes.
You're the one that has those precious feelings that you have. And I can tell you that he is a Neptune card to you.
What is your club?
Yeah. No, the Three of Diamonds. You're a Three of Diamonds ruling card. And
my
Ten of Diamonds.
My ruler is Three of Diamonds, yes.
Right, and the Neptune card of the Three of Diamonds is the Ten of Diamonds in the spiritual spread. So I know that he's a man that you have, like with me and my wife, you have these romantic fantasies about him. That I have.
Well, I idealized him, yes.
Right. But he also fulfills something in you that's missing. Christina, do you understand? And you need to have that filled up, and you need to identify what it is, because I can tell you right now, it's not something that only one person can fulfill.
What do you mean by that? I mean only one part?
I mean that you can find somebody else who has everything that he has, plus the parts that he's missing, like the part where he really wants to be with you.
Right. Well, that's the missing component.
I know. I'm saying that you can find somebody else that has everything good that he has, plus the part that he doesn't have.
Oh, really? How am I going to do that?
Just be available. Are you available?
I haven't been consciously, I suppose.
Well, are you available? Maybe we can hook you up tonight on the phone here. Want me to find somebody for you?
No, it's okay.
Well, I guess you're not really available just yet.
No, but not on the telephone. It's very funny to do that, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, how do you want it to happen?
I don't know.
Well, you better
figure it out. I'm an extremely attractive woman. I have every, you know, I don't know what to say. I can't believe this man who, you know, I'm more attractive than him, and, you know, I'm Italian, and you know,
about the looks. I mean, looks can attract.
It's not about looks, but I'm so spiritual, you know. I'm
but maybe
like
he's
that.
Not.
He's not.
Yeah, well, what are you doing with him?
He's striped. He's very dimming,
but,
you know.
No, but you, see, you're the one. Why are you with a guy that's not the right person? That's my question for you. That is the real question here. Why are you with somebody who's not the right person for you? What are you wasting your energy, your love energy on, your fun? You're wasting your time. You're closing yourself down now, hoping he'll come back. It's all bullshit. If you want to be depressed, and, you know, we talked about Ace of Clubs being depressed in the last caller. If you want to go do that little routine, no one can stop you, but it's not going to get you what you want. Okay? If you really want love in your life, open up and go out and get it. You got all the cards for it this year. You can meet somebody right away.
Do I really?
Yes, you do.
I know I have a King of Hearts somewhere.
Yeah, you got an Eight of Hearts in Venus.
I do?
You can have, have so much fun this year, but you got to shake off this idiot, this attitude you got about this guy, and just get rid of him. He's not for you. He doesn't love you. He's not interested in you. I don't care how hot you are. He doesn't give a shit. Hey, I've been with some really beautiful women. I just didn't have any feelings for them. It didn't matter. It wasn't personal. I just didn't care for them. You understand?
Well, yeah, I'm not beautiful in that crazy way, but, I mean, it's like I'm...
It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. It matters if you have a connection with somebody or not. It's either there or it's not. You feel it for him, but his card is not connected to yours anyway.
You don't see that?
No, there's no connection between his card and yours, only from your card to his.
But the Ten of Diamonds and the Ace of Clubs, I thought, have a huge connection.
Well, there is a connection there, but he's not feeling it like you are. Trust me, there's a direction to these things.
And which direction is that?
I just told you. You're feeling everything, he's not.
Let me ask you a question quickly, because I've only been on here 5 minutes. Everybody else has been there for 15 and 20, and I've been waiting. If you don't
mind. I think you've been on for about 15 minutes now.
Oh, okay. He was with a woman who was 10/31/1962. October 31st, 1962. Ooh. Only for a very short time, and she abandoned him, and he was brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. Was that a very good connection?
I mean, it was good because that's what he wanted.
I see. It's about choice, then.
Yes, it's about what you want. He's not choosing you. He's choosing somebody else. He's still looking. He wants something else. He doesn't want you.
Okay.
You need to get it. I bet you a lot of men do want you, and you're not even open to it. You're just shutting down to it.
Probably.
You're a hot Sagittarian lady, right? Italian to boot. You like to dance. You like to have fun.
Well, he's Italian, too.
There are other men out there. Trust me. The world's
I did the right thing to pull away, is what you're saying.
You need to, like, really pull away. You need to, like, cut it off for good. No friendship, no nothing. Just cut it like a knife. It's done. It's over. It's not going to ever happen again. Let it go and move on.
Okay.
Make room in your life for a new love to come in. It'll come in instantly. Guarantee it.
Okay.
So call us back after you meet the new guy, okay? I want to hear about
okay.
it.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. Take care.
Bye, Mr. Ken. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Well, normally we would shut off now. We're past the time, but we have a caller been waiting patiently, Mr. Daniel from San Francisco. So if he's still on the line, let's patch him in.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, I first just want to just compliment you and just express some gratefulness for how positive you are when all these people call in with, you know, their really heavy problems, and you turn it around and make the lemonade, the lemons lemonade, which is just beautifully spiritual, and I just wanted to just acknowledge
thank
that.
Thank you for that acknowledgement. I sincerely appreciate that.
Yeah.
And you're my moon card,
I mean,
so that feels really good.
Well, here, I have two questions. One is that I drew a chart of my birth card and my planetary ruling card, and I did the Moon, Sun, Mercury through cosmic lesson on each one, one on the left, one on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, I drew this line, and I said, whoa, there's a repeating pattern on a part of that.
Yes.
And
right.
Like I found that on the Jack of Diamonds, the Uranus is Six of Spades, and the Queen of Hearts, the Moon is Six of Spades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this happens to every single birth card in the deck. Everybody, every birthday of the year has that same dynamic going on.
Where Uranus crosses the Moon?
Because, see, your Neptune card in your life spread is your ruling card because you're a Pisces.
Right.
You're March 12, 1963, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at your Neptune card in your life spread, it's the Queen of Hearts, right?
Right.
And that's your planetary ruling card because you are a Pisces. That's how the planetary ruling card is derived.
Mm-hmm.
So the card right behind the Queen of Hearts, which would be your Uranus card, is the Six of Spades, which is the card behind the Queen of Hearts, which is the Moon card of the Six of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it will go from those cards forward. The Ten of Clubs will be the Mercury card of the Queen of Hearts and will be the Pluto card of the Jack of Diamonds. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And you know, to understand that, you have to see and understand how to read the Grand Solar Spreads. That's in my book called Exploring the Little Book of the Seven Thunders, explained in there. But basically, this happens to every single birthday of the year. Some people, it's a lot worse. So, like, if you're a Gemini or a Virgo, the cards are right next to each other. Like, your Mercury card in one spread is the Venus card in the next. And the Venus becomes the Mars, and the Mars becomes the Jupiter, like that, on down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now, that is fascinating. I mean, like, I noticed that, like, the Mercury in the Queen of Hearts, of course, is the same as the Pluto in the Jack of Diamonds. And in my astrological chart, there's a Mercury-Pluto opposition. Is that just a coincidence, or is that also...
Well, there may be a connection there. It's possible. But I would have to think about that, you know. Yeah, possibly. I mean, you may be onto something. That could be a new discovery.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, I mean, is there any kind of interpretation that can be drawn about this relationship between... like the cosmic lesson and the Mars, you know, the cosmic lesson of the Jack of Diamonds and the Mars and the Queen of Hearts being the same, and these correspondences, is there something to meditate on or think about or interpret from that?
Well, I've never actually tried to interpret those, but it basically comes down to the way the different parts of our personality interact, you know what I mean? Like, you are a Jack of Diamonds birth card with a Queen of Hearts ruling card, and they're two distinct parts of your personality, and they blend in a certain way. Essentially, they blend in a Neptune way because you're ruled by Neptune, see?
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Queen of Hearts as your ideal, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're a Jack of Diamonds who aspires to be a mother
mm-hmm.
in a certain sense, you see?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, one of my sisters is your birthday.
Right.
One of my four sisters is a Jack of Diamonds, Queen of Hearts. She's quite a character, my sister.
I'm sure she's different than me. But,
oh, yeah. She's a joker. She jokes around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
well,
you know, she does do the Queen of Hearts thing. She overindulges in sex and alcohol.
Huh?
which is a Queen of Hearts thing, especially if you're a Pisces Jack of Diamonds. Because all that Neptune stuff is alcohol, too, see?
Oh, yeah. And spirituality.
And spirituality, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so there may be some discovery lurking there in your thing. It'd be something interesting to research.
Oh, okay. Well, the other thing I noticed when I went down the line of the Queen of Hearts is that the Pluto is Five of Clubs, and the result is Three of Diamonds. And it turns out that my mom is a Five of Clubs, birth card, Three of Diamonds, planetary ruling card, and I thought, is that significant, or is that coincidence?
Well, of course it is. That's very significant, because that's how you connect to your mother.
It's through Pluto result?
Yeah, but not only that, but, you know, there's other connections, too, because her karma card would be a Queen of Diamonds, and that is your moon to that, so you were probably a mama's boy.
Hmm. Maybe I resisted it, but...
Well, of course, we always resent being mama's boy.
Uh-huh.
We resent it, because they cast us in the role of their support person.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it, but we do it because it makes them happy, but then we resent it because it demasculates us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess unless you interpret it in the best way, and then you just, you know, do what you can and try to put the responsibility back onto them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not appropriate for the child to be taking care of the parent. But a lot of parents, especially like in my case, I'm a mama's boy, and my mother and father were not, they weren't getting along well when I was born. I was the first child, but he wasn't even there at my birth. He was out with some other woman, and they were at odds with it. So I became my mother's little man.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
she,
I mean...
She put all her affection on me and all that, but then she expected me to kind of be there for her emotionally. See?
Yeah, right, right. Well, then did your mother's birth card and planetary ruling card show up in your line of one of your cards? I mean, just right next to each other like that, or is
well,
that...
we are connected, not in that particular way. We're not. She's not in my life spread. I'm not in hers. My karma card is, and her karma cards are. But not her birth card or ruling card directly, not like in your case.
So, I mean, how unusual is that or significant?
Well, it's not unusual because this happens frequently. I mean, there's lots of other... I mean, there's people that have their parents as karma cards and they have them show up directly in their life spread or they have the same exact birthday. There's all kinds of ways it can turn out. So that's not unusual, but it has to be interpreted. Well, your mother was Pluto to you. What does that mean? It's not really difficult to figure out.
Well, what does it mean?
Well, it means she's a challenge to you.
Right, right. And then
her,
what would it mean that... Go ahead.
It would be her five of clubs part, her restlessness and her dissatisfaction with life and her uncertainty about what she wants. Those are the things that challenge you the most.
Okay, and then what would be the interpretation of the fact that her... Three of Diamonds, which is her planetary ruling card, is my result in my Queen of Hearts
I just interpreted that for you, but you didn't know I did it.
I did
interpret it. I was interpreting the Five of Clubs and Three of Diamonds together because they both describe, the Pluto and result both describe the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
As a result card, it doesn't really matter. It just means that perhaps... the relationship with her will lead you to being a more creative person yourself.
Oh, because the Three of Diamonds is the artist card.
It's one of the artist cards, yes.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, the other thing is, as you mentioned to this woman two calls ago about her child, being from a former life, you know, before he was a nine,
mm-hmm.
was used to, you know, where are my servants and this kind of thing, and I looked at on the birth card and the planetary ruling card, trying to find this theme and to understand this principle of past life. And I would assume that you were drawing that information from the past life card of the birth card rather than the planetary ruling card, right?
Well, that doesn't apply to every single card. It only applies to the Nine of Diamonds. It applies to several cards, but it's different in each case, and you can't just take that one rule and spread it across the board. Like, I can't say, oh, you were a Ten of Diamonds before, now you're a Jack of Diamonds.
Oh, you can't.
No, it's different for every single card. You have to look at the karma cards. If you study the karma cards, if you understand fully what the karma card's purpose is and its function as it describes our issues in life, we have two karma cards. One is positive, one is negative. The first karma card is the negative one. It describes the issues we brought forth from the past life that are unresolved in this lifetime. And if you look at a Nine of Diamonds, they have a Queen of Diamonds as their first karma card, so they were powerful before. Do you see?
Yeah.
You get it?
Oh, sure, yeah. So in
and
my
you have I've never actually written all the interpretations for all the karma cards, but I will someday. That's on my list.
Oh, that'll be excellent. Well, then, in my case, I mean, would I look at also the karma card for the Queen of Hearts, which is the Ten of Spades?
No. Well, for now, just focus on your birth card. Just focus on that Three of Spades. See, there's an artist lurking in every Jack of Diamonds, but a lot of them never, they don't want to make the commitment to it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to really go for it, and when they really could and should.
Ah, so does that doesn't necessarily mean that last life I was a Three of Spades.
No, it does not mean that.
Just means the
theme. It
does
mean, though, that you manifested the Three of Spades energy in a negative way in a past lifetime.
Oh.
And you brought those characteristics with you into this lifetime.
So that they have to be worked out positively in this lifetime.
Yeah, and that could be health concerns also, because Three of Spades, in a negative sense, can mean worrying about health too much.
Okay. And whereas the other karma card, the Jack of...
It's a good one. It's what comes easy to you. Like Jack of Diamonds have great minds, just like Jack of Clubs people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the past life card of Ten of Diamonds is not...
That's not what I use in that equation.
Okay.
Yeah, even though that's a nice try there.
Okay.
I mean, you're really applying yourself to this, and this is not that hard to learn. It's just that you're kind of new, but you'll pick it up really quickly. By the way, did you hear about the event we're having here at my house on January 13th?
I heard you mention that with the party.
You might want to check it out and come. I'm in Concord over here. Go to my website and look on the front page. It describes it and gives you a place where you can register if you decide to come.
Well, that sounds great. Okay. Well, I guess then in terms of looking at anybody, if you're looking up anybody's card and you're trying to figure out what their past life themes are, the key is just focus on their first karma card as to what their challenges are.
Well, that's one of them. But, every single card in the life spread and everything about the birth card itself even is all part of... It's all derived from the past life. It's all karma. Everything is karma.
Okay.
Our choice of birth is all karma. So every card in your life spread, the Mercury card, the Venus, the Mars, every single one is a result of past life karma. It's just that the karma cards themselves define specific, easy to identify issues and traits.
Hmm. Okay, well that helps a lot to understand that, and I guess being that right now I'm in the Uranus period, that kind of means that anything can happen, right?
Well, unexpected things often do happen in the Uranus period, yes. Or we might do unusual things ourselves. It varies. It's a spiritual period though. Uranus and Neptune are both spiritual periods, so good things can happen on the spiritual basis in those periods, and one should always be open to that.
Well, do you have anything to say about Five of Spades in Uranus?
Well, how about move?
Oh, sorry, Five of Spades and Four of Spades, right.
How about move to a new house?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then some change about your home, or take a trip. Yep. The strongest Five of Spades comes up in Neptune, and that means take a trip.
Okay.
After January 19th.
Okay.
Well, listen, I'm going to have to go now.
Thank you so much.
But, I'm here every Monday, so if you have more questions, be sure to call back.
Absolutely. Have a beautiful evening and wonderful new year.
You too. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much.
All right. Good night. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I appreciate everybody who's came and participated. We had a great New Year, Shirley, and Happy New Year to you out there on the East Coast. It's already 2008 out there. Hope you're enjoying it. We'll have it soon. We're going to end the show tonight with our usual song, which is Gayatri, the Gayatri Mantra, one of the most powerful mantras ever created. And I hope you enjoy it. And this is Robert Camp. We'll see you next Monday. Good night.
Mm-hmm.